Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Friends, Emily here. Welcome back to another episode of the Risen Motherhood Podcast in the What We're Still Talking About series, where we're taking a topic that we discussed early in our podcast and ministry, and we're aging it up, showing how the gospel principles we were applying when our kids were babies and toddlers still work for the things we're facing today over a decade into motherhood. So in those early years, one of the things we talked a lot about was postpartum body image, our mom uniforms, maybe the way that pregnancy, nursing, C-section, caring for infants, those types of things impacted the way our bodies looked. But now that Laura and I have school-age children, we find that we're still having this conversation about body image and motherhood, but the focus has shifted a little bit to the role of fitness and exercise in our lives. So what you're going to hear today is a live podcast recording that we did at the Gospel Coalition Women's Conference all about this topic. We titled it Burpees and Biceps, but we're going to really be diving into some of the pressure that moms face to be fit in motherhood. And as we apply the gospel, we're going to explore what type of fitness God really requires of us in motherhood. So stay tuned for that. Also, before we jump into the show, we want you to know that we're releasing a new version of the original Risen Motherhood book. It's a deluxe edition that comes out on October 25th, 2022, and it includes all sorts of new content, including 3 new chapters. It has a gorgeous linen cover. It's an heirloom edition that's a great keepsake or a gift for a mom in your life. And you can pre-order that anywhere books are sold. When you pre-order, you get some really awesome freebies. First of all, you get a book plate that Laura and I personally signed that will make your book a signed copy. And secondly, you get a gorgeous gold foil print to hang somewhere in your home. We hope that you'll grab these pre-order bonuses while they're still available. You can find out more by checking out our show notes or going to risenmotherhood.com/book. Okay, let's jump into our live podcast recording. We are guessing that all of you guys are like us. You've been in so many different places in, quote, your fitness journey, right? We have everything from, you know, exercise is completely impossible as a mom. There's just no time to fit that in to, you know, exercise is one of the main things that I do to stay sane as a mother. And so you have everything across the gamut, and it feels like everyone is so individual, and there's nutrition, and there's just body image issues. Like this conversation will never fit into 45 minutes, but we're going to try.
We're going to try. And so we're using the word fitness today a little bit loosely. Like yeah. Laura said, we're talking about exercise. We're talking about working out. But primarily, we're talking about any sustained effort you do to improve your physical health. So just keep that definition in mind as we work through this. And we particularly feel like this is something we have to make ourselves think about in our modern culture, because we're increasingly becoming more sedentary just in our daily activities, right? We wake up and we sit on the couch, we sit to do work, we sit in the car, we sit to do things on our phone. Yeah. It's like we just move around and sit from place to place to place. Mm-hmm. And so unless you're intentionally going out of your way to do something that's active or to go outside or mm-hmm. to get in some exercise, our default anymore as a culture is more to just be sedentary. Yeah. And so we have to apply the gospel truths mm-hmm. to the world that we live in.
Yeah. And some of us do have active days, yeah. right? Like yeah. I think about like my husband who just, he gets up and he is working incredibly hard all day and like a very highly active job. So mm-hmm. there are some people who you may not need to carve out like a 30-minute time to sweat it out. So we want to like recognize that as well, that sometimes people are already keeping a natural level of fitness. But in general, for most of us, it's pretty well required. I feel like for me, I sit, and I have to find a way to like move my body. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So we wanted to talk about what are some of these truths that cover all of time, no matter what situation you're in, no matter what mm-hmm. culture you're in, and going back to creation, it's just that God made us for rigorous movement, both in work and in play. And so going back to the garden and thinking about Adam and Eve and the work that he gave them to do, there's no way they were going to cultivate the garden and take care of the animals and even like be fruitful and multiply without significant physical effort. This was not something they could have done primarily from a couch or from a chair. Mm-hmm. It would have involved their whole bodies. Mm-hmm. And something I think is really interesting as you get into more of the research that talks about how the physical body just is all intertwined in the beautiful, wonderful, perfect way that God designed it. Movement actually helps every system in our body. And so it's just good in every way. It's part of the design.
Yeah, there are huge benefits. I think we all know them. They're very well advertised.
Quick
research.
Google search.
Yeah.
Give you the whole list.
We took one from Mayo Clinic. You know, improves mood, boosts energy, combats diseases, supports the immune system. You got to tell them about that one thing you were telling me about.
Oh, the telomeres?
That's it. Tell them.
Oh, man. Okay. I got really nerdy like a year ago and read a whole bunch of books on this. So telomeres are like the end of your shoelace, you know, the little plastic piece on the end. That's what we have on the end of our chromosomes. And they decrease over time. And that controls your natural lifespan. Like it says, how many times your chromosome can replicate. And so strength and fitness and exercise is one of the things that helps preserve our telomere length. So it's just one of the many, many things research and science is figuring out, hey, this actually helps us in our lifespan with aging. It's mm-hmm. really fascinating.
I love that. Okay. So, but even though it's part of God's good design that we move our bodies, there are limitations on how much we can move. And these aren't even part of the fall. Like we're not even there yet. We're just talking about good limitations that God has given us. And, you know, one of those things are the fact that like we all have a very limited physical potential. There is a reason there are world records, meaning there is a cap on how fit the human can get. We cannot run as fast as we want to. There is an ending on how much weight you can lift, all those kind of things. I even saw this in my own life where I was listening to this podcast and they were talking about how when someone goes from very sedentary to exercising regularly, maybe just like even 3 to 5 times a week, but a regular amount of exercise, what happens is in the first year, you're going to see like a significant amount of change in your body composition and the way that you feel. You're going to see a lot of the results very quickly, which happened to myself. But then after about a year, you're going to have to turn the knob really pretty significantly, pretty heavily in order to see more results. So you might have to change your nutrition. You might have to change how much you exercise. You might have to just do more and give more time, give more thought to what you're doing. And so there's just like a natural limit. Unless you're an Olympic athlete, like all of us are going to hit like the spot where this is what we have.
This is about the best you
yes.
can do.
Yes.
Another just regular limitation by design is the fact that we don't have the same capacity for physical fitness at every point throughout pregnancy or postpartum, right? Like no matter what your baseline is, everybody has points where you can run harder and faster. I mean, I have seen like an 8 or 9 month pregnant gal jogging
yes,
behind
a stroller.
Such a
thing too. Yes.
And I'm amazed by it. And I know there are people that do that, but probably even that person has times where they can't do quite as much, where you're just a little bit more limited. Or postpartum, I've just been happy to get up and walk sometimes after having babies, yes. you know? And it's not like, hey, I'm going to go out and start doing squats tomorrow. Like there are just natural yeah. limitations, even in your time of the month, that yes. you can't do as much.
Right. Well, and then another thing is that we all need rest, right? So we cannot endlessly exercise. We cannot endlessly move. And God designed it in his good plan for us to need sleep, need time to recuperate. You were talking about something with your muscles rebuilding.
Oh, yeah.
Emily's like real into this topic in a good way. Like you've been, she's into the sciencey stuff. I like it.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Share that.
I won't whip out my biceps on stage.
Oh, I was hoping she would do a burpee for us.
No. I might throw my back out.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting to that later.
We'll get to that. That's in the fall.
Okay, so when I started trying to build muscle, I was doing a program that was 6 days a week. And I just kept feeling like my workouts were tanking and I was running out of energy. And so I did a little bit of reading and it was amazing to me how actually taking a break between workouts helps you build muscle faster. And that's just a principle that God has built into so many things, right? That you work and you rest and you work and you rest. And those two things together are what allow you to grow and to serve, not just go, 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 go with no rest. So that principle exists in our muscles too.
That's good. Okay, so speaking of the fall, let's talk about some of the limitations that occur because of the fall. And the first one that Emily and I often think of is just disability. You know, we both have kiddos with very significant disabilities. Both our children will probably never be able to do fitness and exercise in the ways that regularly developing bodies do. And so we know that many of you may even be struggling through a disability or an invisible disability that prohibits how much you're able to do. Or chronic pain. Speaking of back pain,
we're 35,
and it's like, man, nobody, if anybody has a piano to move, we got to hire somebody. There is like no way anyone in my community can do it because we're all over 35 and have bad backs.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely pain. There's autoimmune. There's all types of just different diseases are going through something like cancer in your life would really limit the ability to do physical fitness. I mean, even mental health.
Yeah.
So this would be something that's often recommended when somebody is struggling with anxiety and depression. But sometimes that's the last thing that someone wants to do when they're in that situation. It's hard to even get off the couch or get out of bed in the morning, let alone exercise. Or even viruses, sickness. I mean, sometimes that can knock you out for days or weeks or months and you're fatigued and you just don't feel like yourself. So there's definitely very real limitations there.
Yeah. So in the fall doesn't just affect us physically. It also affects our heart motivations around exercise. And so for the sake of today's conversation, we're going to kind of divide it into two ditches. And we know that again, there's going to be a lot of nuance. You're going to find yourself in some of it. You're not going to see yourself in other things.
Maybe you feel both in the same day.
Right here. Yes. And so the first ditch would just be this idea that you gain kind of personal righteousness or holiness from exercising. And there are a couple red flags if you're maybe erroring in towards this ditch. And essentially, this is just seeing health and fitness as a way to kind of earn salvation or to find your goodness or your worth. And so one thing we can look at is just, you know, how committed are you to your exercise? Is it something that you're saying, hey, I exercise and go to the gym 10 a.m. every day and that doesn't move. And unless it's like a huge emergency, this is massive priority for me. Even if, you know, needs come up, you're really, really trying to figure out a way to make that happen. Another thing, and this happens to me constantly, is that I will feel guilt or kind of a level of unhappiness if I cannot get my workout in. And so
almost like your day wasn't complete.
Yeah. Or just feel like, I feel bad. You know, I just feel kind of bad that I didn't exercise that day. Like I wasn't self-disciplined enough. And so I start to get my joy found in my exercise. Or like, I'll kind of wake up and be like, okay, I'm going to work out at 6 a.m. And then for some reason, you know, kid wakes up, that doesn't happen. Okay, I'm going to do it at 10. Okay, I'm going to do it at 3. And you keep pushing. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, hey, I'm going to find times and ways to fit this into my schedule, but also being flexible and saying, hey, at the end of the day, like people are more important than my time to exercise. And my joy is not at risk if it doesn't work out for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't struggled with that ditch as much.
Of course you haven't. It's like so classic.
Oh, that's okay. I'll talk about my problems now. So I think stewardship on the other side, failing to see how we can be good stewards of our body. And sometimes this is just as simple as knowing all of those benefits we talked about with health and fitness, knowing, hey, this would probably contribute to my energy, to my mental health, those things. But like, I don't really see how this can fit into my schedule right now. And that's kind of uncomfortable. And personally, I don't even really love working out. That doesn't feel good. I'm tired afterwards. I'm sweaty. I'm going to have to shower. And then pretty soon I've got all of these barriers built up in my mind. And I think, you know what? I'd rather just not do it today. But I'm not really thinking ahead into the future of how would spending a little bit of time on this right now help me in 10 years, 20 years, or 2 weeks from now when someone needs me. And so I think too, it can also be developing, I don't know, an attitude of judgment towards people who
this can happen both sides.
Yeah, for working out, to just think like, you know what? I'm free in Christ. I don't have to work out.
This is so Emily.
But, you know, really, it's just a way to cover over. Like, I actually don't want to think about stewarding my body right now because it is hard and there's benefits.
Well, and that judgment goes both ways because I think when you're on the other side, you're like, I'm disciplined. I naturally see the value. I reap the benefits and all you people would too, you know, and you kind of can start to say, well, that mom really should apply herself towards that. She would have so many benefits, or the reason she has mental health issues is because she's not working out, or, you know, we'll kind of self-diagnose other people. And so really both of these ditches often come with significant amounts of judgment towards, quote, the other side of things.
Okay. So I think another way that, you know, sin really distorts physical fitness is just in our why, our motivation. And of course, it's impossible to separate this conversation about fitness from the conversation of body image and what it is that we want in terms of what we look like, especially after having kids.
Yeah, I know with my kiddos, I mean, it was in the course of 4 years, I gained and lost about 150 pounds. And that like very much changes your body image and it like affects how you're thinking about things. And you give a lot of time. And much of that is also because culture tells us, hey, moms, you really need to care about this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure every time I get on Instagram or TikTok, if you're on TikTok.
Are you on TikTok?
I do lurk on TikTok. Let's talk about that.
Oh my word, we do need to discuss.
Well, you see all these body transformations. You see how I changed the subject.
Yeah, I'm like seriously kind of stuck on this right now. We need to have a discussion.
Okay. So every time I go on and I'm looking through reels, there's almost always a body after baby transformation where you see somebody and they're pregnant and then, you know, the video goes by and they're like holding their baby on their abs. And you know what? There are some good things about that, but there is just pressure. Yeah. All I would say, even if we're not looking for it, we're probably taking in messages that are saying you should really be changing your body. And in fact, I think there's even a message that would say you could get a better body than what you had before baby if you would be willing to put in the time and the work. And so we see benefits in that. We're not trying to say that's all wrong, but I think those messages are maybe changing our expectations about what we think our bodies should look like.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of what our bodies should look like, it's really interesting to look back at history and think about how bodies go through trends. So like in the 90s, remember when they used to wear like really, really low jeans and like it was hip bones. Hip bones were like super cool and
super skinny.
Super skinny. Thank goodness that is not in. I don't want to see hip bones. But then it kind of changed and like the Kardashian body type came in where it was like the slim, thick body type where you had a big back end, you had big boobs, you had a really tiny abs. And then now it's kind of this athletic body, muscular, you know, workout like an athlete type style. And we really like that. It feels more natural than perhaps some of the last few trends that we had in bodies. But in reality, a lot of the people that we're watching or who are studying these tones may have paid for those bodies. You know, they aren't found in nature. They have been created through their wealth or their just abilities to have different people around them to help them look like that. And for many of us, that's just unachievable. We're trying to make our bodies look like something that God didn't even design them to. And so we're doing these workout videos where maybe it's like, hey, have, you know, tank top arms or have like the big booty or have whatever is in style. And we actually seek out workout videos that promise us these things.
Tank top arms by summer.
Yeah. That's and then we're like, yeah, let's do that because I need to look like that. And the reality is like, some of us will never look like that. Mm-hmm. It will not happen no matter how much you work out. And by the time maybe you do achieve it, the body trend has changed.
Yeah. And really the bottom line is sometimes we're just trying to erase all of the visible evidence of motherhood, right? We talk about this in the Risen Motherhood book, that the reality of life giving is that it's not free. Like there are always sacrifices and there's always marks of life giving, whether that's, hey, I've got more crow's feet, I've got more wrinkles under my eyes, my gray hair is coming in faster, or you know what, I don't have enough time to devote to this or as much time as I used to, and that's going to have an effect on the way that I look. Or literally, we have C-section scars or stretch marks, or there's extra rolls and we're a little bit softer in certain places than we used to be. There are just marks of motherhood. And those things are not bad. And yet oftentimes I think we're trying to remove those through our fitness journey or our exercise.
Yeah, it's really kind of rejecting the image of God in us. And it's just saying, this isn't good enough. I want what she has. I want what somebody else has. And Emily found this quote a while ago that has just always stuck with me. And it says, we don't know who it's from, P.S., so if you do, tell us. But it says, American culture is obsessed with removing our humanity. And we all want to look eternal. We all want to look like we're going to last forever. And there's this element that I sometimes think, I feel like as I exercise or even just think about body image, I think that I'm trying to apologize for how long I've been alive. And I'm trying to say like, hey, my 35 years is too long. I want to look like I've only been around for 25. And that is just a deep mark of the fall that gives us hope for and thankfulness for Jesus. So,
yeah. So we want to transition a little bit into thinking about not just what the world asks of us, but what type of fitness does God require of us? Mm-hmm. And just that word fitness, you know, we're using it to talk about exercising, but another definition for that word is just the quality of being suitable for a particular role or task. So we need to think about what makes us suitable to be in the kingdom of God? And then once we are in the kingdom of God, how would we want to train and work in our godliness and actually train for godliness? And so that word fitness actually comes up in a hymn that Laura and I wanted to share here because we felt like it really encompasses that gospel truth.
Yeah, that hymn is Come Ye Sinners by Joseph Hart. It was written in 1759, and I'm going to read just a portion of it to you guys, but listen to some of the words that are in here, and especially there's a last line that uses the word fitness specifically, and we'll see what we can take away. So it says, Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. Let not conscience make you linger, not of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him.
So maybe as Laura was reading that, you heard yourself in some of those things. Poor, needy, sinner, weak, wounded, sore, heavy laden, lost, ruined by the fall. I think in that, what we see is this reality that on our own, we can never be suitable or fit for the kingdom of God. The only thing that makes us fit for the kingdom is knowing our need for Jesus Christ. It's turning from our sin, turning to him, and just coming and knowing that it's by grace through faith. And then once we are saved, God gives us this incredible mission to train for godliness. I know there is a verse that's pretty popular in this category, 1 Timothy 4:8, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And so what I love about this verse is that he doesn't say, just forget your body, it doesn't matter, only invest in eternal things. It's like, yes, that does matter. But also the priority of our investments and the emphasis of our lives is on training for godliness. And there are so many incredible parts, especially in the New Testament, that give imagery of things that we would do in our workouts that actually translate to spiritual things, right? Fighting sin and temptation. There's like a verse from Paul. He talks about like boxing. Like, I don't box like I'm boxing the air. I box like I'm aiming to hit something, right? And racing so we can get the crown, having endurance till we get to the end. There's all this imagery there. Things like having fortitude in suffering or being able to endure persecution. This is all imagery of training. And so as we are thinking about fitness, it's good for us to go back and say, am I investing in something that's not just going to help me right now, but that's going to last forever? Godliness is of value in every way. And that's the heart of how we're spending our time and our energies.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I think that begs the question, then what is all this godliness for? And we can think about the Great Commission of go therefore and make disciples. And that requires going. It requires movement. And really what happens is our physical fitness becomes a means or a vehicle for being able to serve others, to love them well, to love God and love others. And you can't serve and love others just like sitting in your home on your couch watching TV, you know, and going to get food and going back to your couch. Like, it requires a significant amount of movement for you. And so there's a stewardship component to this conversation that is really, really important to say, okay, I want to first work on my spiritual fitness and apply, like, think about how much time we spend thinking about our physical fitness and what we wish we looked like and how we can get there and all that. What if we applied that toward our spiritual fitness first and then said, okay, this, now I can use this and I'm going to be able to coach my kids' soccer team and I'm going to run and be able to keep up with them. I can jump on the trampoline. Or if you have a disability or if you're suffering from chronic health, I think about just like the service and the love that it is to just offer a wave or to offer a smile. I mean, there are just really small acts of love that we can.
Or prayer. We were talking about how sometimes even in your postpartum period, what you're doing with your body is actually, you know, having that contact with the infant and holding and rocking in prayer. Like, some people, their ministry is prayer.
Yes.
You know, and so when we have that kind of godliness first, like, paradigm, identity in Christ, then we can just see, hey, God, with whatever circumstances you've given me, how would I use my body to right. serve?
Yeah. And maybe you are like a fitness instructor, or maybe you are somebody who is a professional athlete or something, and you spend a lot of time thinking about this because it's part of your job. Well, that's still a means to be able to serve and love other people around you and to use your skill sets to tell other people about Jesus. So it doesn't mean it's only the prayer or it's only athleticism. It's how do we find a balance in between these things to say, okay, I'm going to bring these together and use everything as a means to love God. And so I want to close with, or not close, we're not closing, don't worry, this little section with a quote from John Wesley that I loved. It says, "The mission of the Christian is to do all the good you can by all the means you can and all the ways you can and all the places you can at all the times you can to all the people you can as long as you ever can." And that requires movement and getting out and being active and being with others. And I just think that's a good challenge for this part.
Yeah, it is a tension, because as we think about what a lot of our culture is longing for, it's a body that we're not going to have in this life. Mm-hmm. And so that's something we just have to keep in mind, right? Our outer selves are wasting away. We are jars of clay. And so there is no amount of exercise, there is no fitness program that is going to cheat death that is coming for us. And as Christians, we get to walk in that tension and walk in that reality that, like, I'm stewarding my body, I'm trying to do the best that I can, but this life is not all that I have. And we're looking ahead to eventually, when we are with Christ, if we are found in him, our body will be like his and it will live forever. And we won't have some of these same struggles and limitations that we have now. And so it's just a lot to hold together. Yeah. And a lot of just the day-by-day journey. I think Laura and I were kind of trying to grapple down, which we're going to have some questions we get to, like, grapple down to, like, what does that even mean in my real life as I wake up tomorrow and decide how fitness fits into that? And it's a lot like any of the other choices we make of, like, how am I going to make a media choice? How am I going to know what activities our family is going to do? How am I going to know what kind of food I should serve? And it's like journeying with God day by day and receiving and carrying out the good works that he has for us that day. So we make a plan and we do our best and then we adjust.
Be flexible. Yeah, there's a real personal conscience aspect. And if you've been around Risen Motherhood for very long, you know we're really big on this, that it really depends on where the Lord is leading you, the Spirit is leading you, your unique life circumstances. And again, like we're talking about, what are your physical abilities? What is your season of life? Like, there are so many factors and there's not one answer for every mom. But we're hopeful to help you kind of figure out some things. So we have a couple of questions for you to ask and to think on. And the first thing is just asking yourself, why do you exercise, or why would you exercise? So if you haven't started yet, why would you exercise? And this is really, really important for you to answer authentically and kind of get to the root level, because I think a lot of us, kind of the first thing that comes to mind is like, oh, so that I can look like a certain ideal, or I can feel good in my swimsuit this summer, or, you know, so I can have great mental health, or I have sanity in motherhood. So there are going to be a lot of high level motivations that are totally okay. But I'm asking you, what is your root motivation? And is that to look like a certain ideal? Is that like the main driver for you? Is it because like that's where your joy is found? Is it because that's where your identity is found? And so really asking those questions of yourself and saying, is my reason for exercising, or my reason that I would want to start, so that I can joyfully serve others, so that it can overflow and I have the energy to, you know, jump up off the couch when my husband is home, or to be able to push the stroller or push the bike along when my kids want me to do that. And so we have to like work through those motivations and see which ones are kind of the holy motivations underneath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think another question is just, what does it look like for us to steward our body in the unique life circumstances God has given, knowing that there are different seasons? Mm-hmm. I mean, doesn't matter what point you are at motherhood, you probably already know that like every 3 months you have to reevaluate your whole life and figure out how you're going to do everything again.
Maybe faster.
And you just go through these different periods and you have to in each one say, okay, what does this look like right now? And particularly, I think to speak to what Laura is saying about motivations, to find reasons why it may help you and to cling to those. And I think for me, this has been really helpful because I'm not naturally drawn to working out, and I wouldn't probably just voluntarily for fun get on the treadmill.
Yeah, me either, actually.
But I think, for instance, our last couple of weeks have been just full of a lot of grief. Mm-hmm. And there was an afternoon I got home and we had a babysitter for just a little bit longer. And I looked at all that time and I thought, I need to do dishes. I need to answer emails. My kids want me to sit and play bubbles with them. I mean, you guys know how it goes. I've got like a billion loads of laundry to fold. And yet I could feel the tightness in my chest. Mm-hmm. And I knew that probably what I most needed to do was jump on my bike and go for a bike ride and sweat. And I felt like a lot of that tension releasing. And when I came home, that helped me re-enter and serve my family better. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's just a bit of a paradigm shift for, you know, maybe I don't like to exercise naturally, mm-hmm. but there's a component of this that helps me serve and love. Another example of that, you know, we're talking about having children with disabilities. And a couple of years ago, I was really getting to where I was kind of throwing my back out on a regular basis. We have an almost 7-year-old now who still doesn't walk independently and is still needing diapering and being, you know, laid into bed and things like that. And it just occurred to me, like, if I'm going to love him and care for him through his teenage years, through his adult years, like, I have to have core strength. Like, this is something that is part of the motherhood journey that God has given me. And that's something I think of when I'm laying on my back doing those things, you know, the V-sit things.
Example, please.
No,
please.
No,
please.
I'm not going to lay down and do that
I
right
tried.
Here. But, oh, man. I think about, okay, this isn't the way I want to be spending my time right now, maybe, but this is important for the motherhood journey that God has me on. I need to have strength. And so everybody's reasons are going to be different, but I think we have to start getting a little creative mentally sometimes. We're not naturally drawn to working out. Think, how would God use this in my life to serve and love others?
And I would not say I'm naturally drawn to it either. I mean, I love comfort as much as the next person, but I remember one of the reasons that I started because I was going through burnout and really overwhelmed and really struggling. And I had had my 3 children. We had moved to Iowa and were living temporarily with my parents. And we were working on the Risen Motherhood book. And I just felt like totally overwhelmed. So I would go on these walks on these gravel roads and it eventually turned into running. And what clicked for me was that I wanted my body to feel as in pain as my heart did. And there was something that just felt so good about the physical exhaustion that, and I was not running far or fast, but it was just something about, like, I wanted to hurt the way that I felt like my life did, because that was a hard time in my life. And the Lord was kind, and I kind of kept up like a medium level of fitness, and it's changed now, but I still love a good hard run whenever I'm stressed out. And I think there's something too that is good for us to feel uncomfortable, you know, and there are so many, like with Paul, there are so many examples of fitness in the Bible where he uses these as parallels to what our lives should look like spiritually. And there is something about feeling uncomfortable in our American air-conditioned life that I think is like, I want to feel that uncomfortable with my sin. I want to feel that uncomfortable with the pain of the fall. I want to feel that uncomfortable with kind of this living in the already but not yet. And so It doesn't have to be your motivation, but I'm tossing it out there.
I like one more rep is something I heard one time.
Okay, tell me more.
It'd be like something you put on your gym wall. One more rep.
One more rep. Okay.
But it's been good because sometimes I think I know what that feels like to do like one more rep than I want to.
Yeah.
And it helps me when I'm in a situation where I need to do like more dishes or I need to do more laundry or I need to stop and like care for that child and work through one more tantrum or one more argument. It's like,
that's good.
Okay. I know what that feels like to push a little bit further than what I was comfortable with. And I know that God's grace can meet me and sustain me through that. And I think that's part of growing our capacity in motherhood. Just like we would grow our muscles and our physical fitness. You grow muscles by lifting heavier than you want to until the point of kind of like burnout. Mm-hmm. And so don't carry that metaphor too far. But just thinking through that in motherhood, of sometimes we have to get used to doing just a little bit more than what we're comfortable with. And God grows us in that.
Well, and I think even of my daughter just started equine therapy. So my daughter's 5 with disabilities and she started equine therapy. There's 3 kids in the class and like 35 adults out there helping. It's awesome. I know. But one of the gals has pretty significant disability. She's an adult, probably in her mid-20s. And there are four people, and she wears like a harness around to help her sit up. And her whole goal, the entire ride, for about 30 minutes, is to hold her head up. And I'm going to like literally cry. But like, just that's her whole goal. And I just thought every time she would lift her head and like get the strength to do that, she would just smile with just such joy. And I just thought, oh my goodness, that, I mean, that is fitness, you know, and that is blessing me as a mother to be able to see. And just, I knew how hard that was for her, but it was just this beautiful thing where I think like we think of fitness so often as big, you know, hard 4 mile runs. And it is that, but it's also just lifting of the head and smiling and blessing other people. And again, you have to hold all of these things together, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So I think one of the questions that we wanted to work through as well was just practically considering the amount of time that we spend on this.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Because motherhood is just a lot of figuring out
time,
how you're going to do more things than what you have time for.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier, but I think there's an element with the fitness culture and exercise culture and just American culture, right? We spend a lot of time thinking about our bodies, how we look, how we feel. You know, if I eat this, this is how I feel. If I exercise that way, then I'll probably feel a little bit better this way. And that's very, very constant. I think it takes up a lot of mind space for us. And I remember a time when I had hit that plateau I was telling you guys about with exercise. And I felt like, man, what am I going to do to like look better or whatever? You know, that's probably the extent of my thoughts. But I was like, I'll count macros because that's the popular kind of thing to do. And there's nothing wrong with counting macros. But what I realized was it was taking a significant amount of time for me to work out and then also count these macros. And I didn't feel like for me, it was necessarily the best way for me to spend my energy and my brain power. And I kept thinking, man, what if I applied this to theology? You know, what if I applied this to who I can bless today, who I could text and with an encouragement? What if I applied this towards the things of God? And it's not to say that eating well isn't a thing of God, because it is, but I think we have to start asking ourselves, what is the ROI on the time that we are investing in health and fitness? And what's the kingdom of God getting out of it? And at what point does it like, hey, that's not really benefiting eternity. And again, if you are a personal trainer or you're a fitness coach and you're exercising like kind of all day, and I can see there being great value. And I can see even seasons of life where, hey, it's important for us to count macros and it's important for us to really think about nutrition. But I think you have to just evaluate pretty consistently to say, if you're kind of on that other extreme, what is the eternal value of how much time I'm giving this?
Yeah, so definitely a lot to think through. And the main thing that Laura and I kept coming away with, and just as we've had discussions in our friendship over the last couple of years, is just going back to this idea as our bodies and our lives as a vessel for Christ in this life. And that doesn't always mean that our bodies are going to be fully functioning, right? We have to receive what he gives. So if we're in a season where our main physical ministry is holding an infant and praying over them, that's a good ministry to have. Mm-hmm. And if we're in another season of life where we have time for fitness and exercise and working out and we're
running a marathon,
lifting things or doing, you know, we're able to do more, like that's good too. Mm-hmm. The main thing is we're keeping that in mind, right? Physical fitness is of value, but godliness is of value in every way, and being willing to receive whatever ministry God has given us in that.
My name is Simi, and I am part of the Risen Motherhood community because it is a place of encouragement based on the truth of the gospel. As a pastor's wife, I love that. It is not a place giving a self-empowering, but a God-centered perspective on motherhood. And sometimes it feels good to hear you talk about topics because I know that means I'm not the only mom dealing with those issues. It's truly freeing.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.